WLAK 1260 AM Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. They aren't there yet, but the White House says a deal to free more hostages taken by Hamas is close. U.S. and Qatar trying to broker that agreement. Fighting intensifying between Israeli forces and Hamas near another hospital in northern Gaza. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin making an unannounced visit to Kyiv. He reassured Ukrainian President Zelensky the U.S. is with them for the long haul in its war with Russia.
This is about, you know, not living in a world where a dictator can wake up one day and decide to annex the property of his peaceful neighbor. That's not the world that we want to live in.
Austin also announced another $100 million in U.S. aid. Microsoft has hired OpenAI's former CEO Sam Altman and the company's ex-president Greg Brockman to lead a new advanced AI research team. A three-day celebration of life for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter begins a week from today. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is vetoing a Republican proposal to cut state income taxes by $2 billion and to expand a tax credits parents use to pay for childcare. The GOP bill was put forward after Republicans rejected Evers' proposed $1 billion boost to workforce programs and childcare. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps on Tuesday. Jeff Mandel of the liberal group Law Forward says the current Republican maps are unconstitutional because they're not contiguous.
They're not all made up of one uninterrupted chunk of land, and that is in conflict with the words of the Constitution, which requires the districts to be contiguous.
Mandel was on Upfront on WISN-TV. Lawyers for the map supporters are expected to argue that contiguous has different meanings. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks winning streak continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had no problems on the road, beating the Washington Wizards 142-129. Milwaukee, with a five-game winning streak, head to Boston to play the Celtics 6:30 tomorrow night. Bobby Portis in the loud winning locker room says he enjoys the support of his teammates.
It's fun just to have guys that instill confidence in you on a daily basis. I think we instill confidence in one another to go out there and just hoop and just play free. Obviously, it's only 14 games in, but I like where we're at.
The Wisconsin Badgers getting ready to play the Minnesota Gophers for the Paul Bunyan Axe coming up on Saturday. That comes after the Badgers' overtime win against Nebraska. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell.
We celebrated. We enjoyed. There was a lot of things on Saturday night, but most importantly, that when we walked back in here on Sunday, we knew what it was about, getting the axe and making sure we understand and respect everything about this game and this rivalry.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies today with highs around 40. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. 22 tonight, partly cloudy. High of 45 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM. Right now, 35.
Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Wolf. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed. keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
1670 AM, The Zone. If you combine pajamas and rubber boots to check on the barn, we welcome you. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Welcome in on a Tuesday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. My gosh, the rain was coming down this morning. I expect to see some rainfall reports in the next 15 minutes to read on air when we get to our weather segment. You can text us how much rain you got at 877-301-FARM. Again, that is 877-301-3276. With rain comes mud. And with mud comes the potential to get a fine if you're making a mess on the road. We'll hear from the State Patrol this morning on some easy solutions for staying legal. The bigger news this morning is the weather that's to come along yet today. A big chance of snow in the Madison area. How long will that stick around and where are people going to see some white powder? We'll dive into that shortly. But don't forget, we're wrapping up the hour with market advisor John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing. Always some great information, so stick around.
Here come the holidays, and if you want to make sure to put a smile on someone's face, start your shopping at Bavaria Sausage. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here for the whole crew at Bavaria Sausage, corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week online, BavariaSausage.com. If you want to make sure you're giving an authentic gift this season, start at Bavaria Sausage with their gift boxes. Wisconsin cheese, old world flavored sausage, all ready to go. And get your order in early so it arrives on time. How about taking a look at all their holiday hams that are available? And they've got all kinds of extra Christmas goodies that you can shop as well. When it comes to putting a smile on people's face during the holiday season, start at Bavaria Sausage. Remember, they've got gift cards available for someone to use here or halfway around the world. That's what it's all about. Bavaria Sausage on the corner of Nesbitt Road, Fitchrona Road in Fitchburg, BavariaSausage.com.
Always up early. Always getting the job done. Always working as hard as you can. Always pushing for more. Because you never settle. For farmers who seek outstanding performance they can count on, the only brand is DeKalb Corn. Featuring a broad portfolio of products precision bred to maximize profit potential on every field. DeKalb brand. Never settle. See us at DeKalb.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Picture this. You, your firearm, and the challenge of a lifetime as you embark on a quest to bag the big one. No, scratch that. That colossal 30-point buck, and you are the lucky hunter that harvests this legendary buck. But now what? Do you send it off to the processor after getting many photos to brag about to your friends? Well, why not process that deer yourself? I'm Charity Seebecker from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. Processing your own deer from field to that table can be a rewarding and fulfilling experience for many hunters. Emily Eel, hunting and shooting sports program specialist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, provide some tips on how you can do just that.
I think a lot of people process their own meat just to continue that hunting experience from start to finish. So a lot of people find it really rewarding to be able to take an animal, be able to scout out, harvest an animal, and then take it all the way to the freezer and the table. So lots of people enjoy spending the time on it and dedication, and a lot of people find that it's really respectful for the animal if they do it themselves. A couple other benefits are a lot of the time it's more cost effective if you're harvesting multiple deer during a year, and it can also be more time effective. So just depending on if you have the time to process it, you can get it back sooner possibly than taking it to a professional.
So you coordinate and facilitate the DNR deer processing workshops. What kind of interest have you seen with those?
So we started these workshops last year kind of as a pilot, and we saw a lot of interest. And they filled up. So we definitely wanted to continue those again this year. And I think as far as the interest and why it's really high, I think lots of people just don't have the experience of processing their own deer. The other things that we've been seeing are, I've heard just in calling around different processors and trying to schedule these with volunteers, is that it seems like there's been a number of processors who have closed their doors. And so that drives more business to like a fewer number of professionals. So things get really busy. And every processor that I have talked to over the phone has said they don't have time to do anything except process deer, kind of late archery season, start the gun deer season, and then trying to catch up from that. So they have a ton of work to do. And again, it can be expensive to have multiple deer processed, and there's a lot of benefits to doing it yourself. So the people who have been signing up, it's been really interesting. They have all different levels of hunting experience. So we get people who have been hunting their entire lives and maybe have processed their own deer and who are just looking for more tips and tricks. And then on the other side of the spectrum, we've gotten almost entire classes full of people who are novice hunters or who have never hunted before and want to start learning how to do that when they do have the opportunity from harvesting their own deer. And we've been seeing people drive, like every class, there's been a significant number of people who have driven from like 2 hours away, which I think it demonstrates the interest.
As we all know, weather here can be quite different from day to day. And so as a hunter, you might be getting a deer on a really cold day, or it might be a really warm one, depending on that day of that hunting season. How does that impact what they do in order to make sure that the deer they harvest doesn't spoil?
If you have a really warm day, you're going to want to make sure your meat is cooled down as soon as possible. So field dressing it as soon as you can is really helpful. And then if you need to, like packing ice into the body cavity can help cool the meat down quickly. Or packing ice around it and putting tarps over the deer if you have to travel with it for a while.
You've got your deer, you're in the woods field dressing it. What's next?
Hanging it up is always helpful in helping the meat cool down. So it's nice if you can get it hung up just in a reasonable amount of time. One thing you'll want to look out for is if you've maybe hit the deer a little bit far back, you'll just want to look for like any smelly type of things that got on the meat. And if there is, then if you can rinse it out quickly enough, you can tend to save it.
So what equipment is needed to be able to really process your meat at home?
You can process the entire deer with like a 4 to 6 inch semi-stiff boning knife, but sometimes it's nice to have a loppers on hand just to take the lower legs off at the joints. And then if you are bagging the deer up for disposal, sometimes it's easier to cut things up a little bit, and the loppers can be handy there. But otherwise, the basic things you'll need are a way to hang the deer up. So a gambrel and either a rope and pulley, or at our deer processing workshops, we use a hitch hoist, which is just kind of like a winch that goes into the hitch of your vehicle. And you can do that right outside. And you don't need like a garage to hang the deer up in if you don't have that. Tarps or cardboard underneath the deer to catch anything is nice. Or some other sort of floor covering. Gloves are nice. Not everybody uses gloves when they process their deer, but there's no shame in it for you know, any reason. You'll want to sharpen your knife before it's dull. So just like every so often, run it through the sharpener or run a steel across it. But otherwise, for packaging, there's kind of 2 or 3 different methods. You can wrap the meat and the cuts in saran wrap and then wrap it up in butcher paper. You can even use gallon Ziploc bags if you kind of take all the air out, that prevents freezer burn. Or we use a vacuum sealer and vacuum bags, and that really sucks all the air out and minimizes the risk of freezer burn for the meat.
And now when it comes to the actual processing, is there anything that people should know when doing it themselves at home for safety, or any cuts even that they should know to maybe get rid of?
The biggest piece of advice I have is don't be afraid to practice and just cut up the deer and get it packaged, because the more you do it, the more you'll be able to see how the deer comes apart. But the general overview that we give is that before you hang up the deer, you're going to want to remove the lower legs at the knee joint. And then you'll hang the deer up by placing the arms of the gambrel between the Achilles tendon and the bone. So there's a pretty prominent tendon on the back leg that you make. It's like a tendon, basically skin, and then bone. And you'll cut the skin between the tendon and the bone and hang the deer up from there. And if you cut that tendon, then there's almost no way that you can hang the deer unless you turn it around and hang it from the kind of the head down. So we recommend hanging it bottom down with the gambrel between the Achilles tendon and the bone. Then you'll take the skin off the deer. One recommendation I have there is try not to cut across the hair with your knife, because that really dulls the blade. But you can make like a couple cuts up the inside of the leg and skin from the inside of the deer sort of outside and peel the skin off that way. That really saves your knife. You'll cut the tail off at the joint, and then you'll skin the deer all the way down to the base of the skull or the neck. And you can either cut the head off kind of at the joint of the atlas and the axis, so right where the head meets the neck bones. Or if you want to CWD test your deer, you'll leave about 5 inches of the neck and cut the head off further down the neck. After you've got the skin and the head off, you'll take a look for the tenderloins and the back strap. So the tenderloins are located inside the body cavity, right up against the spine, sort of in the loin area. And then the back straps are against the spine on the back of the deer. After you've got those out, you can remove the shoulders and the hindquarters. So basically, that's just sort of getting them off however you can. So once you've got those off, you can trim them up. And the shoulders, there's really not a ton of specific cuts in there. So it's really just like taking the meat off as you can. And a lot of that can go into the grind pile. For the hindquarters, there's 3 big muscle groups. So there's the top round, the bottom round, and the football roast. Those are the main cuts that you would get, and it's a significant part of the hindquarter. So most people package those up whole or cut them into little steaks or chops. Once you've got the hindquarters and the shoulders trimmed up, you can sort of trim up the rest of the deer. So that could be any of the meat on the flank, neck, and rib. But a lot of the time, people use the meat that they get from those areas for grinding.
What tips or regulations should people know when it comes to packaging?
I think the main thing is that you'll want to limit the amount of air touching the meat. So you can wrap it in butcher paper, and a really good way to get the air out is to wrap it tightly in saran wrap first. Same thing with Ziploc bags or vacuum sealers. It's sort of the same concept that you want to get as much of the air out of there as you can.
That was Emily Eel, hunting and shooting sports program specialist for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources, along with us. As the 2023 gun deer hunt season is underway, be sure to be safe out there and use these helpful processing tips as you bag that 30-pointer. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Charity Seebecker.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
From the heart of the St. Croix Valley, we're in touch with you. You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Did you know this local radio station is part of Civic Media? Learn more about the entire network at civicmedia.us. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field. What the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill. And I'll admit, I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
We'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
Shout out to my mom's. She makes these sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Brock. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
If your conversations always start with the weather, welcome to the Midwest Farm Report.
And I bet a lot of our conversations this morning are going to be talking about the snow. So when I came into the office today, a lot of rain that has since turned into white flakes. Snowflakes also seen in Cambria for about an hour now is what I was told on our rainfall report this morning. Our rainfall report number is 877-301-FARM. Stu Muck along with us, our ag meteorologist. Stu, what have you seen so far when it comes to rain amounts before we talk snow?
All right. Well, rain has been pretty simple. I see 32 hundredths of an inch at Madison, 13 hundredths of an inch at Fond du Lac, and I saw Sheboygan weighing in with 16 hundredths of an inch. Didn't get out to my gauge this morning. Got a little behind schedule, but it hasn't been all that heavy. It is mixing somewhat. I mean, you look at the weather radar this morning to see rain the heaviest in far southeast Wisconsin, Racine, Kenosha, up toward Milwaukee, and then a little mix of precipitation, indicating some over Lake Winnebago, some between the Madison and Oshkosh area, and a little snow further northwest. What we have is a cool front trying to pull into western Wisconsin today. That accounts for a little rain as well in far western Wisconsin down into south central Minnesota. Low pressure heading across southern parts of Indiana and up toward Ohio today. We'll keep precipitation in the picture as we head through today, especially in the east. Drier in the west. La Crosse probably out of the woods. No talk of precipitation there. Maybe just a sprinkle at Mauston, but this will all end. And the temperatures do their best to stick around normal yet today and tomorrow, and then start to cool. Not too drastic, but a little cooler for Thanksgiving Day, and cooler as we head toward Friday, but it does stay dry once today's precipitation does clear out and end, and it will end from west to east through the day. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Microbials play a critical role in the health and vitality of livestock. I'm Dr. Bill Zimmer, veterinarian and founder of BioVet, your leading source for high-quality microbial and nutritional products that support growth, health, and production in livestock. Listen to our Microbials Matter podcast at bio-vet.com as experts discuss health, digestion, and support for livestock. Visit bio-vet.com and click on podcast.
Innovation, that's BioVet. You know how it goes, Stu. It takes a while for us to adjust to the first couple of snows, especially for the crazy drivers out there. For folks who are seeing those white flakes falling from the sky, anything we need to know about how long it's going to stick and how much it's going to measure up to?
Well, it's not going to be much for accumulation. We know about that, Stephanie. I mean, we're still at that time. Ground temperature isn't that cold. You know, we were still all in the 40s yesterday. And even though we cooled down to about freezing or at least in the 30s overnight, I don't think we're going to see any real ice accumulation or snow buildup. But some snowflakes could fall in parts of central and southeast Wisconsin with raindrops today. Cloudy skies, all of us probably holding in the, call it mid-40s, 44, 45 degrees, with the north winds at 5 to 15. Mostly cloudy skies overnight. And we're going to fall back to the upper 20s, the northwest winds 5 to 15, and then sunny and dry for Wednesday, a fine day in that low to mid 40 range, 44, 45 degrees again, northwest winds 5 to 15, become southwest a bit later in the day, and then Thursday, Thanksgiving Day, mostly sunny, very low 40s, with the north winds at 5 to 15. And if I had to look ahead and say the next time we get precipitation, Stephanie, that may not happen until we find our way on toward a little later in Sunday. And even then, it looks like only some very light activity if it makes its way here.
So a dry but cool Thanksgiving this year, Stu. But have you seen, for folks who are traveling, is there anything on your radar that folks should be aware of happening around the nation real quick?
Heading toward the East Coast would be the biggest concern because they're going to get that rain that we see right now, the rain and snow mix, and there could be some freezing. So if you're heading toward New England, the East Coast, pay a little more attention.
All right, Stu. Well, you have a happy Thanksgiving. Pam Yonke will be back with you again tomorrow.
All right. Well, you take care.
All right, Stu Muck along with us, our ag meteorologist. And if you want to get in touch with us through our talk text line, just send us a message at 877-301-FARM.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Like smelt fries and music on the river, we're uniquely Amory. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
What is the meaning behind Movember?
It isn't just about the mustaches.
Movember is meant to raise awareness about men's health, prostate or testicular cancer or suicide, and also be a reminder to see your doctor. Movember started in Australia in 2003. It's now observed in more than 20 countries. So guys, remember to see your doctor, and however you celebrate this month, all of us with your local civic media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
The fastest hour in radio, serving truth, justice, and equality with every slice. Outside the Pizza Box with Pizza Mike, Friday nights at 7 on Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Chris from Middleton. Welcome to the show. What do you got for us?
I'm a Democrat. I totally agree that there's been too much corporate influence probably in the Democratic Party. I liked how Bernie talked about economic issues, and I agree we need more of that. But I don't think we can also afford to shy away from the identity politics. In fact, we got to lean into the identity politics and not be shy about it.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
ABC News, I'm Andy Field. They aren't there yet, but the White House says a deal to free more hostages taken by Hamas is close. U.S. and Qatar trying to broker that agreement. Fighting intensifying between Israeli forces and Hamas near another hospital in northern Gaza. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin making an unannounced visit to Kyiv. He reassured Ukrainian President Zelensky the U.S. is with them for the long haul in its war with Russia.
This is about, you know, not living in a world where a dictator can wake up one day and decide to annex the property of his peaceful neighbor. That's not the world that we want to live in.
Austin also announced another $100 million in U.S. aid. Microsoft has hired OpenAI's former CEO Sam Altman and the company's ex-president Greg Brockman to lead a new advanced AI research team. A three-day celebration of life for former First Lady Rosalynn Carter begins a week from today. This is ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Governor Evers is vetoing a Republican proposal to cut state income taxes by $2 billion and to expand a tax credits parents use to pay for childcare. The GOP bill was put forward after Republicans rejected Evers' proposed $1 billion boost to workforce programs and childcare. The Wisconsin Supreme Court hears arguments in a lawsuit challenging the state's legislative maps on Tuesday. Jeff Mandel of the liberal group Law Forward says the current Republican maps are unconstitutional because they're not contiguous.
They're not all made up of one uninterrupted chunk of land, and that is in conflict with the words of the Constitution, which requires the districts to be contiguous.
Mandel was on Upfront on WISN-TV. Lawyers for the map supporters are expected to argue that contiguous has different meanings. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
Bucks winning streak continues. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks had no problems on the road, beating the Washington Wizards 142-129. Milwaukee, with a five-game winning streak, head to Boston to play the Celtics 6:30 tomorrow night. Bobby Portis in the loud winning locker room says he enjoys the support of his teammates.
It's fun just to have guys that instill confidence in you on a daily basis. I think we instill confidence in one another to go out there and just hoop and just play free. Obviously, it's still only 14 games in, but I like where we're at.
The Wisconsin Badgers getting ready to play the Minnesota Gophers for the Paul Bunyan Axe coming up on Saturday. That comes after the Badgers' overtime win against Nebraska. Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell.
We celebrated. We enjoyed. There was a lot of things on Saturday night, but most importantly, that when we walked back in here on Sunday, we knew what it was about, getting the axe and making sure we understand and respect everything about this game and this rivalry.
That's the Badgers head coach Luke Fickell. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. It's your hometown radio, refreshed.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you could catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM.
Here's your updated forecast. Cloudy skies today with highs around 40. Winds out of the northwest, 8 to 15 miles per hour. 22 tonight, partly cloudy. High of 45 tomorrow. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on Lake Air, WLAK, 1260 AM. Right now, 36.
Say it with me, the Bucks in six. And you can catch every play, every score, every Milwaukee Bucks game on Lake Air Radio, WLAK, 1260 AM in Amory. Your station for the Milwaukee Bucks, your hometown radio refreshed.
Timeout.
Remember, we're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
UPUS Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUS Kids, and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms, or degree screens, or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes, don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight.
The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know it's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. In touch with the City of Lakes. In touch with you. This is Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Just afford to roll the dice.
It couldn't have happened at a worse time.
Did the chickens come home to roost last night? We'll find out. This is the Midwest Farm Report.
Welcome back on a Tuesday morning. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you, filling in for Farm Director Pam Yonke. Before the rain hit today, the last week consisted of mostly warm and windy conditions across the state, and this helped dry both fields and crops and allowed farmers to really get going on harvest and tillage. This is according to the latest crop progress and condition report from the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. The corn for grain harvest was 78% done. That's 2 days ahead of last year and a day ahead of the five-year average. Moisture content of this corn was 20%. The soybean harvest is about wrapped up, especially in southern Wisconsin. Statewide, the harvest is about 94% done. And 94% of the winter wheat crop has emerged. Winter wheat condition is rated 65% good to excellent across the state. That's down 3% from last week. A Wisconsin crop that doesn't get included in these progress reports, but are very important, especially this time of year, are Christmas trees. Yesterday, I stopped at Hans Christmas Farm in Oregon, just south of Madison. You can see pictures of my visit at Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook and Instagram. Greg Han is the second generation on the family Christmas tree farm. And if you're wondering if it's anything like a Hallmark movie, I can tell you they work a lot harder in real life. Greg tells me how the crop looks ahead of their busiest season of the year, which is the weekend after Thanksgiving.
Yeah, actually, we are open on Thanksgiving Day here at this specific farm. But as Christmas tree farms across the state, yeah, they get busy the day after Thanksgiving. I mean, boom, it just starts hit. Off air, we were kind of talking about Black Friday and how they've stretched Black Friday out into this two-week stretch of Black Friday. So 20 years ago, we used to see nobody on Black Friday because they used to wait in lines and do that kind of thing. And now Black Friday is probably our busiest day.
And you said it keeps getting busier every year, especially since the pandemic, because people really took an interest in real trees again. Are you expecting that again for the 2023 season?
Yeah, it's great for agriculture. You know, this is a specialty crop. The USDA sees it as a specialty crop. We have our own checkoff program, actually. So, yeah, it's nice to see that people are interested in our crop now. We really enjoy that people understand the benefit to growing a Christmas tree here in Wisconsin, the benefit of the natural habitat that it gives us. So, yeah, we're seeing a huge uptick still. COVID was fantastic. One of the industries that it was good for, because people could get out and get a live tree. And we saw a lot of people putting those artificial trees in the dumpster. So that was nice for our industry.
And you've been open for the past couple of weeks, correct? When do you really kick things off? And what have you seen so far in terms of demand?
So, yeah, we're one of the few that open November 1st. We've always opened November 1st just because we're here making some wholesale wreaths. And it just gets earlier. People want them earlier. But on the other side, the religious part of Christmas, unfortunately, has kind of went away for some of these people, where they're taking that tree down right on the 26th of December, so they don't have it up through the Epiphany or anything like that. So they're getting it earlier, just like we see with all the holidays, decorate earlier and take it down as soon as it's over. over.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned about the length that the tree can or cannot stay up. When people have it at home with them, how long does a real tree typically last?
It should easily last in that 6-7 weeks. So that shouldn't be a concern. There's always products on the market that you can put in your water. People ask me that all the time. We sell a product called Forest Fresh. It's a tablet that you put in. There's other tree preservatives also on the market that do help extend your life of your tree. The key to that, though, is making sure that you had a fresh cut on the tree. If you cut it yourself, or if you even go to a lot or different farms, make sure you cut that inch and a half off of the stump of the tree so that the water will uptake a little bit better, because it does seal off. Just like if you're clipping a branch on a tree in your house, you see that sap come out and that seals off that wound. That's the same thing as when you cut a Christmas tree. So always do a fresh cut within an hour and a half of putting it into water in your home.
These trees are what, eight years old, this year's crop?
Yeah, this year's crop is 8 years old, 8, 9, 10, depending on the height that you have. A lot of people with the drought, as cash croppers and, you know, even dairy farmers know that we had a rough drought this year. So that really did hurt our first and second year trees. But once that tree gets to that 3 foot size, it can handle being a little drier. We had a great fall, maybe again, not for the corn farmer, but we had a great fall for ourselves, because those 4 or 5 inch rains that we had in late September, those tall 8 foot trees just suck that water right up. And it's great for harvest time because those trees have water in them, so they're not stressed to begin with. So I think we'll have a great year of needle retention in your home once you take that tree home.
We're visiting with Greg Hahn with Hahn's Christmas Farm in Oregon, Wisconsin, just south of Madison. I'll be posting the full conversation with Greg at MidwestFarmReport.com on our podcast page. Stick around for a look at our commodity markets coming up next.
Protovate Nutritional Seed Enhancer is an 80-20 talc graphite replacement that provides the critical nutrients corn and soybeans need for early and uniform emergence. Learn more at GetGreaterGrowth.com.
With rain comes mud, and with mud comes the risk of getting a fine if you track a mess onto the roads. Lieutenant Bill Berger joins us this morning from the Wisconsin State Patrol, and he reminds us that leaving mud and manure on the road is illegal. He's got strategies for how to stay clean so you don't get a $200 fine.
The best thing that farmers can do when dealing with this is to just minimize the debris tracked on the roadway in the first place. And some recommendations would be to basically manually scrape off the tires in the field with an ice scraper. Some pretty simple. This is especially easy if the implement has flotation tires without heavy lugs, tire tread lugs. And then before returning to the roadway, travel along the edge of the field in grass if available. Basically, they want to try to fling off some of that mud in those areas in the field prior to getting to the driveway. The faster they can travel in the field, the more effective that's going to be.
If mud or manure does wind up on the roadway, should farmers be cleaning it off themselves?
We see farmers do that. We've seen it with some construction sites as well. The things that we just talked about, okay, the farmer's done what they could, but they've still tracked a lot of mud onto the roadway. It is common that farmers will try to clean off the roadway themselves with a skid loader or mechanical broom, but there's some things that they need to consider before doing this. Technically, this work would be considered doing work within the highway right-of-way. So technically, this would require a right-of-way work permit from a regional DOT highway office for cleaning any state or federal highway. If the road cleaning is taking place on a township or county highway, those local officials should be contacted prior to any cleaning. I guess with that being said, even though the farmer should be contacting the officials in charge of the maintenance of the roadway, I'm not so sure they're always going to be doing that. Anytime they leave debris on the roadway or attempt to remove the debris off the roadway, you have liability concerns that they need to be considering. When removing the debris from the roadway, they should be conscious of safety considerations for the equipment operator and the general motoring public. They should be choosing a time when there's low traffic volume. They need to consider site distances and natural obstructions such as hills or curves, which may prevent oncoming traffic from seeing them. The equipment should have flashing warning lamps operating. They really should have a spotter to watch for oncoming traffic. And then that spotter for safety reasons, should be wearing a safety vest and have an orange or red flag that they can wave to garner the attention of that oncoming traffic. I would say that, you know, the State Patrol doesn't endorse farmers clearing the roadway themselves. Anytime you're working the roadway, it's inherently dangerous. We would prefer to see the highway department perform this type of work when it gets to that level, because they have the training, the experience, and equipment to perform this task safely.
Lieutenant Bill Berger along with us with some important reminders about safety and keeping the roadways clean. Again, you could get slapped with a $200 fine if you track mud, manure, or other debris onto the roads. In other news, the cool forecast this week could bring on some runny noses. But if you find that your chickens get the sniffles or a cough, it could be a sign of a larger problem. Highly pathogenic avian influenza, otherwise known as bird flu, is back. Wisconsin found its first case of the year in a backyard flock in Taylor County. And over the past month, Iowa, Michigan, and Minnesota have also announced new cases of avian flu. The State Agriculture Department is asking you to enforce biosecurity measures to protect your birds from the virus. Some of these measures are as simple as washing your hands. You can learn more at MidwestFarmReport.com. And now let's take a look at our grain prices this morning. Tuesday from Chicago, December corn is up a penny at 470.5. January soybeans are up 7.5 cents at 13.74¾. Cash wheat is up a half a penny at 544 a bushel. And July new crop wheat is also up half a penny at $6.5. Turning our heads to dairy, the December Class 3 milk contract is up a nickel at 1643 a hundredweight. The January Class 3 milk contract is trading up 8 cents at 1661 a hundredweight. On the close yesterday, barrel cheese was down a nickel at $1.51. The 40-pound block cheese remained unchanged from last week Thursday at $1.60. And AA butter closed up 2¾ cents at $2.51¾. Don't go away. John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing joins us next.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Broadcasting from atop the water tower. Well, not really, but it sounds fun. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
What really prompted me to call is how respectful and willing to listen you are. We are human beings. People have their beliefs for a whole lot of reasons, some of them rational, maybe some of them not.
Well, thank you so much. Really appreciate the call, Stephanie. Look, we just need to listen to each other. Doesn't mean we always have to agree. I'm not going to give in on what facts are, but we do have to listen to one another if we want to try to get this country back on track.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us. Connecting with you on air, online, and on the Civic Media app. This is Lake Air 1260 AM, WLAK, Amory's radio station.
Green windows, gutters, siding, and decks. Can Legacy do it? You bet. Better prices, better warranties. Legacy always makes it easy. Go to legacy-exteriors.com. Legacy Exteriors. Just pick up the phone and let us leave a legacy on your home.
Bringing home the bacon. Literally, this is the Midwest Farm Report.
And as promised, our live guest this morning is market advisor John Heinberg with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. They're easy to find online at totalfarmmarketing.com. And John, I think we're going to start where we normally do, right? With the crop progress report from USDA. I know that we're on the last legs of the harvest here in Wisconsin. So I'd assume, you know, does this report really sway the marketplace at all?
we're at the stage now where pretty much moved through all those bushels that need to kind of be moved. You know, just look at the last numbers. Bean harvest isn't even reported anymore. It's basically done on a national level. Corn harvest at 93% now. So, you know, we're looking at basically these last remaining bushels. I know here in Wisconsin, still quite a bit out there as the wet weather and crops just not drying down. You know, it's really kind of slowed the process. We're actually still one of the biggest laggards in the whole pile. You know, but that is one thing we've been still dealing with lately, though, in terms of the phone calls that we're getting. Guys, it's got extra bushels, and, you know, this crop, especially on the corn side, came in better than we anticipated, and people are wondering what to do with those extra supplies, whether we should just move them out right now. You got a lot of things that come into play. Does it pay to store the grain? Is it a better move just to sell the grain at this time frame and re-own it on paper? You know, so those are a lot of the conversations we're having with our clients at this time frame.
Well, John, what is your advice? Do you hold on to it or do you sell it?
You know, it does fall into each individual situation. Now, right now, I'm not a big fan of storing grain. First off, you got high storage costs that come into play. We got a market that's got carry in the market. We're already seeing how it's acting. You know, here, does December corn price went down, touched the September price? We bled that carry out. Do we see that happen now when March becomes the lead month compared to the December? You know, we got 18 cents a carry from December to March in the marketplace. You know, if we lose that value, plus throw in the higher interest cost this year, realistically, for the producer to put that risk on and watch a price fall away from them is kind of risky in that regard, you know, and financially may not pay off as well. Now, one thing I am recommending strongly, though, if you do decide to store it, make sure you're using some type of a flooring mechanism to put a floor underneath that price so that carry doesn't go away from you and you leave yourself vulnerable to paying both storage costs, interest costs, and losing your market price.
So the corn market a little sluggish over the past couple of weeks just because of those extra bushels. On the soybean side of the equation, though, John, we've seen some rally to start the week. And tell me, what's driving that?
Yeah, we got a lot of volatility in the soybean market tied to the South American weather forecast and what's going on with Brazil as well as Argentina. You know, we did pick up some rain in some key areas of Brazil, but again, the coverage wasn't overly heavy, and the forecast models are staying on the warmer and drier side. So we're going to see some production losses out of Brazil. The question will be how much and what's that do to the overall picture. You know, Argentina weather is looking very good at this time frame or improving to the point that they could come back to full production, which could easily absorb those Brazilian bushels lost. So we still could see a pretty good pile of beans coming out of South America in general this spring. So that has me a little cautious, the bean market in the longer term. But in the shorter term, with those lack of Brazilian bushels possibly coming down the pipeline, some logistics issues that are occurring because of the dry weather. You know, they have their own river issues on the Amazon and transporting those bushels around to get them to export ports. That's bringing some improved premium into the soybean market as it keeps our demand window open just a little bit longer. And we've gotten to the stage in the soybean market because of those South American supplies that this window realistically from the 1st of September to about the 1st of January is our time to kind of shine in terms of the export market and getting beans sold and getting things shipped out. And if the weather prevents planting, pushes things back in South America, that opens up that window just a little bit more for us. And because of our tight domestic supply here and our domestic demand, we're seeing some decent strength in the soybean market, snapping back well off yesterday's lows, getting some follow through so far this morning.
You know, as you know, John, we were in Kansas City for the last half of last week for our National Association of Farm Broadcasting Conference. We were in front of a lot of agriculture groups at that conference. A lot of our commodity groups, their biggest concern for 2024 has been improving the export market for, you know, corn and beans. And John, I didn't know if you could update us on, you know, just how much those exports influence our grain markets today.
You know, I know it's not the majority, at least in terms of corn, in terms of bushels that we move, but it does have a driver in price. You know, we had weekly export inspections yesterday. Currently, corn export inspections year over year are up about 24%. You know, but the USDA is forecasting that number to be even higher. So the corn export program is behind its game right now. Now, this is not the window that we normally ship corn. This is our soybean window. And there we're sitting about 15.9 million metric tons. That's down 8%. 10% year over year. So we're really missing some business that's in these in those two markets. And I'm not even going to touch on the wheat market, which we're seeing some of the lowest exports in history here in the last few year, or weeks, just really making it difficult for that wheat market to find any traction. You know, again, it's only one portion of the usage. You know, realistically, for corn, about 13% gets shipped out. Where beans, it's a larger percentage of our production gets shipped out. But without those bushels that are moving, it adds to the balance sheet. And right now, for especially on the corn side, the balance sheet is still relatively heavy, and we need every bushel we can get moving. And that's still something that concerns me longer term in the corn market, is just the concerns we're seeing on the demand front from the export market.
And when it comes to moving that grain, John, in the last 30 seconds here, what can you tell us on the status of the Mississippi River levels, rail strikes or derailments or shortage on rail? How are we moving this grain?
Well, the river is still the biggest driver in that. We're seeing the river levels come back down again. So that's just preventing things from moving as freely as we could down to the Gulf. But we're getting a lot of stuff out of the Pacific Northwest via rail. So that's one of our bigger factors. But just all those different issues cause increased costs, which make us less competitive.
John Heinberg along with us, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. They're easy to find online at totalfarmmarketing.com. Pam Yonke will be back with you tomorrow morning. Our top story looking at rural health in Wisconsin. We'll catch you back here tomorrow.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
From the Mississippi to the Apple and points eastward, you're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK, Amory's radio station. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Let's talk about the debate over stadium renovations at American Family Field, what the team's going to kick in, what they're willing to kick in, what state legislators are willing to approve. There have been some more adjustments to the bill, and I'll admit I haven't talked much about it because I feel like everything's all still rather fluid.
I think fluid is the right word, Pat. You're a man of words. Way to go. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Noting two decades of empowering women in agriculture, today on Farm to Fork. With its increased efficiency and lower fuel costs, ag producers know that propane is better for their bottom line. And now direct payouts can impact your bottom line with the Propane Farm Incentive Program. Participate and you could receive payouts like up to $5,000 for propane irrigation engines and prime power generators, and up to $2,000 for propane building heat systems. Apply today at propane.com/farmincentive. Cab to cab, season to season, there's only one way to do it all on your farm, Ag Leader It. Ag Leader offers the complete package of precision farming tools that connect your entire operation year-round. Planter, Ag Leader It. Sprayer, Ag Leader It. Combine, Ag Leader It. Farm data? You guessed it, Ag Leader It. Contact your local Ag Leader dealer or visit agleader.com for more information. Annie's Project notes its 20th anniversary this year. The nationwide organization offers education and support to farm women in many forms, including a recent web showcase put on by the group's supporters in West Virginia. Ladina Teets of Snowy Creek Dorsets in Terra Alta, West Virginia, says she's learned a lot through Annie's Project.
Running farming as a business, because too many times we just run it more as a hobby. I mean, you're living off of it, but you also have those outside jobs that let you do a little more. But if the farm doesn't cover the farm, you're always running behind.
Teets credits Annie's Project with helping her to believe that women have a seat at the agriculture table.
When you are a woman in farming, you are a minority. And number two, you're stepping into a man's world, and they don't always respect that. But I think through Annie's Project and just the fact that women are successful in agriculture, it gives you a lot of confidence and you realize that it's not just a man's world. It's a human being world, and we all benefit.
I'll have comments from another participant in tomorrow's show. You can also visit the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The simple act of sharing gratitude is how Thanksgiving is described in the dictionary. But did you know the first official national holiday happened in 1789? It was declared by President George Washington following the creation of the new U.S. Constitution. Today, Thanksgiving means gratefulness for the harvest, your family, or a higher power. However you celebrate, all of us with your local Civic Media radio station wish you a wonderful holiday season. I'm Terry Barr.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
I'm not even clear from conflicting headlines whether or not Robin Voss has the cojones to move forward with impeachment against Megan Mullen. Why would he do such a thing? You know, just a couple of weeks after he said he wasn't going to do such a thing. Well, he's been threatened, huh? By what? A group headed by his primary opponent, Adam Steed.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Weekday afternoons from 4 till 6 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK 1260 AM Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Inez DeLaQuatera. More fighting in Gaza, with Hamas saying a second hospital has been hit. ABC's Matt Gutman says negotiations continue on releasing hostages.
The negotiations are intense, and each side now accusing the other of foot.